This past week, many of you probably noticed on Facebook, I requested prayer for myself on Monday because I was asked to speak at the Methodist Student Center on our campus. And when the student approached me and asked if I wanted to speak, it's more like he nominated me to speak, and so I just kind of found out that, oh yeah, this guy fell out, you're in. When I asked him, I said, what do you want me to speak about? He said, we want you to talk about what college students need to know. And when I addressed the group on Monday, I said, you know, that's kind of a broad question to ask someone, because there's a lot of things a college student need to know. You need to go to class, you need to know that you need to pay attention, you need to take notes when we're lecturing, because some of us think we've got something important to say. But then I told them, I said, you know, but I got thinking about things, and I realized that that's not all you need to know, because you need to know him.
Amen.
And so that's what this song is. I've sung it many a time, but it says, if you knew him like I know him, you'd know he's alive.
Amen.
My Savior is alive.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that death has died?
Amen.
Scripture says we don't have to fear that, do we? Thank you, Randy. I'm glad I know Jesus, aren't you?
Right.
Amen. Stand with me one more time, if you would, please. Turn to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse, I just want to read verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. Still, if your pages turn so long. Psalm 127:1 says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guard the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. But unless the Lord build the house. Father, thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for the privilege we have to be in your house today. Thank you for building it. So God, we just pray now your word would go out, speak to our hearts. Lord, that we'll be obedient to you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May be seated. As I said earlier, praise God for the privilege that he has allowed us this morning to remodel the sanctuary. And someone had said the other day that they believe that they have the pews have the memory foam seats. Well, I hope not, because if they do, then you're going to be stuck in the same seat forever, right? But I praise God that he's allowed us to do this, and it was by his hands that we've been able to do this.
Right.
Okay? Unless God was in it, it would be in vain. But amidst all the new changes, the pews, the carpet, the paint, the lights and everything else. You know, I said to some this morning as they come in, are you sure you know where you are today? But among all the changes this morning, there's something that has not changed and will not change. This is still the house of God.
That's right.
This is the place that the potter has made. And so I thought about that as God was impressed upon me for this message this morning. We need to see that in the house of God, his hands are always working. You know, I often tell people a lot of times that when you become a homeowner, isn't it amazing how it never stops? You're always doing something, taking care of your house. It doesn't stay the same. Let's face it. You don't walk in and see cobwebs coming down because the women's been busy, or men sometimes in cases when we help. You know, you clean those out because you want it to look good. Matter of fact, Jeanette is, you know, Jeanette was telling somebody the other day, since we've lived there 18 years in our condo, our kitchen has dropped in square footage. Because we painted it 4 times already. So it's not near as big as it used to be. So the square footage is going down because we're always doing something. So when you have a house, you realize it keeps working and working and working to keep it going. Well, when you're in God's house, God's hands are always working, aren't they? God's hands are always working. I appreciate that song, Randy. Thank you. Matter of fact, when you text me last night, I got to thinking this morning, I wish I'd have told you to sing that today. So God's working. His hands are working. So I get to thinking that when we're in God's house, God's hands are doing something. So I thought about that, and we can see his hands working. You see, you're going to find in this place, which is God's house, you're going to find in this place to be made by the potter's hand. Over in Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1, it said, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. I'm glad this morning that the very moment I walked into God's house, we could experience God making or doing something. He really is. I know this morning we have come to worship the Lord. And that's why we're here, isn't it? To honor him and to worship him in spirit and truth. But just think of what God is doing this morning with your life. He is molding. He's making you. He's doing something with you. Because the potter's hands are here. See, it's here that he forms us. And we know, and he molds us. And I realize that he does that every day of our life. But what a wonderful privilege it is to be here and knowing that God is preparing us and molding us and making us. I don't know about you, but when I leave God's house on Sunday, man, I just feel so good because God has done something. I haven't done anything other than worship Him. You haven't done anything other than worship Him through our songs, our prayer, our praise, and the preached word. But God's hands are doing something to you. He's molding you. And He's making you. And He forms us and molds us because here He does that by His word this morning. Oh, I think about our Sunday school classes and what a, you know, we had some great Sunday school teachers, and when you sit in those classes and God's word is being taught and spoken, it is molding you. It is forming you. Look at Micah chapter 4 and verse 2. And it said, many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His way. And then it says, when He teaches us His ways, we shall walk in His path. So He says that in God's house, where God's hands are working, we need to understand that God is molding us by His word. I understand and realize, folks, that a lot of times when God's word is being spoken and God convicts your heart about something, let me tell you, it's nothing that I've done, but it's the Holy Spirit, it's God's hand saying, listen, I'm going to speak to your heart because I want to mold you.
That's right.
And I want to form you. Sometimes God's word is tough on us, isn't it? It really is. I was thinking that so often people say, I just don't like to go to church because that preacher steps on my toes and all these things. Let me tell you something. It's not ever the preacher that steps on your toes, but it's God's word that does that. And I never, if you've heard me say, I never want to step on your toes. I'm that kind of guy, but I want to touch your heart. There's where it's going to make an effect. Okay, I want to touch your heart with God's word. But God's word, when we're here in the potter's house, then we are being molded and formed by His word. What thus saith the word of God? This same word that brings us comfort through our trials, that when we're here, and you know, is the word that molds us. Because you see, in our trials sometimes we are being molded because we find God's word. In our disappointments in life we're being molded because we feel that we see God's word working in us and in our lives. So it's in here, in this potter's house, that we are being formed and molded by His word. Because you see, it's here that we gain knowledge. The Bible tells us in Peter, he said, learn to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking about a conversation he had the other day. And people said, we gave him some scripture. People said, I've never heard that before. Well, let me tell you something, folks. In God's house, where He molds us, the potter's house, we will find Him molds us by His word because we gain knowledge with that. And I pray today that when you leave here this morning, something has touched your heart and your mind and say, hey, this is what God said. I'm going to make stronger in response to this. This is what God does in His house. And then not only that, but we find the fact that He says that in God's house and everywhere else, He said we must study to show ourselves approved, doesn't He? Paul writes that to Timothy. So He molds us and forms us through His precious word in the potter's house. In the house, He said, if the house were made, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. We could come together today and leave God out of it, and we would leave here and have nothing. But I'm glad that God builds the house, aren't you?
Amen.
Glad that He does. So therefore, when we leave, we understand then that we're being molded and shaped by His word. Not only that, but I think that in the potter's house, in the house that God built, that we are being molded and shaped by our attendance here this morning. Oh, you may think, well, these seats are so comfortable, I'll just take me a little nap. Well, that's okay. You go ahead. But I hope and pray I can get loud enough to wake you up. But you are here. And when we come to God's house, I know people a lot of times, the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. He tells us that in Hebrews. So we're in the potter's house. We're here where God's hands are being are molding and making us. We're in the house that God built. So we have attendance here. And sometimes people say, well, I didn't get a thing out of the service today. You know, the sad thing about it is that sometimes people go to God's house and they never bring a thing to the table. You know, it's always easy sometimes that a lot of times we have fellowships and different things, and you invite people, can I bring something? And a lot of times people say, no, don't bring a thing, just bring yourself. Well, you know, when you leave here, when you leave that table, you say, well, I've been full today, but I didn't have to do a thing. But the one who brings the most seems likely gets the most out of it. I've been so blessed this morning. You know, I came this morning, and not only with the people here, but I see Neil Rice standing back there with this big pan of stuff, and it was peanut butter fudge. Man, he brought something, and I'm going to enjoy it. But what I'm saying is this, that when we come to God's house, he says, I'll be molding you and making you. And you see, Jesus set the example for you and I to be in the house that he has made. Over in the book of Luke, in chapter 4, verse 16. Look at what Jesus done. And it said that, so he came, speaking of Jesus, came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So Jesus attended the synagogue. Jesus went to the house of God. So this morning, it's important that we attend God's house. That we be here when possible. I know that there's circumstances in our life that we can't be in the house of the Lord. I understand that. But just being able to say, I've been in attendance to God's house, and you know who I met there? You know, there may be, I think everybody knows each other in here. If not, that's your own fault. You didn't get acquainted with everybody. And we're not going to wear a name badge just because we'll probably get them all mixed up. But the thing, because you didn't, you want to put them on your seat and say, that's mine. But the thing about it is, we get to know one another, and when you go to God's house, you can say, you know what? I was at God's house with God's hands at work, and I attended, and there I met my brother and my sister there. We worshiped together. I know that we worship the Lord. At least we should worship God every day of our lives. But isn't it wonderful when we can come to God's house together and to lift up our praise to Him together?
That's right.
You know, I probably wouldn't. Well, I guess I would too. At our house, we're kind of strange anyway. People think we are, but we play a lot of loud gospel music when no one else goes. You know, you got the five condos there, and most of the time, if you know, when Jeanette and I are home, everybody else is gone. So we can crank that radio up as loud as we want. Doesn't bother anybody but us. And we'll go and we'll sing to our top, and then we'll say amen or praise the Lord. You know, you can get that in God's house, can't you? When you come to God's house, when there's attendance there. So when you come, he molds you because you've attended. He molds us by our respect for God's house. Think about that for a moment. For our respect for God's house. And because it is his place. We live in an age, I guess, that sharing with someone the other day, they were talking about how that they never really assemble together in the sanctuary. There's always the small groups that they all go to and all these things. They don't do much ascending in the sanctuary. And so the attendance on God's house a lot of times, going to church a lot of times, has become casual Christianity, I guess. Oh, but we don't need a house. We don't need a church to go to worship God. No, you don't. We worship every day, but it is important that we have the house of God so we can come to worship and respect God's house. I've always thought, you know, I think people think a lot of times I'm a little old-fashioned, and I probably am because I'm getting a little older, and I probably am old-fashioned when we put up the sign on the front and the back that says, please no food or drinks in the sanctuary. Please turn off your cell phones and all these things. Oh, that is just a building. No, it isn't. This is God's house that we learn to respect.
Amen.
So I may be a little old-fashioned, but I'm glad I am. Because this is God's house. And you know what? God's house needs to be even better than our house. Because Jeanette and I live at our house, yet God is in our lives. But this is God's house. So we learn to respect that. Because the Bible tells us in Corinthians, when they're talking about the Lord's Supper, he said, when you come, the Lord's Supper is not to eat because you have houses to eat in. And I know, you know, this may be an amen or old me part of the sermon, but that's okay. I love you, and you've got to love me because the Bible says you do. And I'm your pastor, so you got to love me.
Amen.
Okay? And, you know, you can even say, bless his heart, but that means poor kid. So you can do that. But the thing about it is, I may be old-fashioned, but it needs to be kept clean. And, you know, a lot of times, might get upset at this one, but a lot of times we see people, you know, playing with their cell phones, not reading the Bible from them, but playing games and kids. But this is God's house. We need to lay those things down where God's hands can mold.
Amen.
God's hands can mold. Have you ever noticed, I don't know about you, but little children say the strangest things. And they're all truthful most of the time. I know when Jeanette was teaching, and I shared this years ago in Osteen, and she was teaching about Paul and Silas, and a little fellow, probably 3 or 4 years old, and he wouldn't pay attention. He was under the table in Sunday school class. And Jeanette was teaching about Paul and Silas being in jail, and all of a sudden the little boy stopped and said, I know what a jail is because I go see my daddy every weekend down there. So what I'm saying is this, that children listen if you give the opportunity. And they tell you about what they heard. I know, a guy I used to work with in Prestonburg several years ago, he tell me, he said, Tom, he said, my daughter, he never went to church, but he always sent his daughter to church. She didn't want to go to church. And so he said, I always questioned her what the preacher preached about because I wanted to be sure that she was going to behave in church. So therefore she would listen. So she came home one day, I said, Robin, he said, do you like church today? She said, yes, I did, Dad. Well, what did the preacher preach about? He was ready. She said, sin, and he's again it. How true. He says, I have no idea what the preacher said. I said, but you know what children know. They know. So we do it by our respect to God's house. He forms us by respecting his house because except the hands, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And then, I think he forms us and molds us by our submission to him while we're here. Our submission to him while we are here. You know, it doesn't bother me one bit to hear somebody say amen. It doesn't bother me one bit to hear somebody say praise the Lord and lift their hands. It doesn't bother me one bit. You know why? Because if they're doing it and being submissive to God, that's okay. It really is. That's okay. So I think about what James says it this way. He said, therefore, submit yourself to unto God. And he said, the devil will flee then. And I realize that I say sometimes, you have to take it in a different way because I don't want you to take it personally. Sometimes even the devil comes to church. And a lot of times he'll sit on the front row. No, don't get me.
I got to say this.
So you go, folks ought to be up here proudly in the front seat, pushing him back. But what I'm saying is this, that even he comes and sometimes, but so if we are submissive to God in his house, God will bless me. So often I've heard people tell me something, I wish I'd have said something. I wish I'd have stood up and testified. You know, that don't bother me one bit. You go right ahead. Because this, you be submissive to God in his house, and God will mold you. And he'll form you with his hands. But not only submission, but I think that being in God's house, in the house that he has built, not what man has done, but what God has done. He says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think that when we come to God's house, it's to do what? It's to give him glory, isn't it?
Amen.
Not ourselves. I praise God for what he's done for us with the sanctuary. And he has done it. So we give him glory for all of that.
Amen.
Oh, I appreciate the ladies who chose the carpet and the color, the pews and all these things. And I appreciate them doing that. But you know what? We give God glory for all of that.
That's right.
I appreciate the comfortable pews we have. I appreciate the air conditioning this morning, don't you?
Amen.
And all these things. Let's give God glory for all of that. So we said we bring him glory. We give him glory in our worship. God, you're why that we're why you are. I love that song. Thank you for opening up with that. That surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And he is here. Hallelujah. I'm glad that we can give him glory in our worship, because we don't worship this building, but we worship the God who has made it. He molds us. He molds us by giving him glory. He molds us by giving him glory in not only our worship, but in our praise to him. In our praise to him. Boy, I tell you what, you can't give God enough praise for what he does. Even in our toughest times of our life, we can give God praise, because God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus said, I will be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Although other things change, I'll be the same. So we give him praise for that. But not only in our praise, but in our service for him. But again, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's service. In other words, when people can see outside, even outside God's house, they can see the service that we have. They can see that we are doing our best to help others. I had a man in here the other day who just wanted, a neighbor who just wanted to see the church. He had heard we were remodeling. So he came in. He said, can I go see it? Sure. Let's go to church here. And he came in and sat down on the view. Back in the back. I said, well, you make a good Baptist already. You ever thought about changing the location? Okay. Got it made.
Yeah.
And so he asked me, he said, what is y'all's mission? I said, our mission. Our mission is certainly is to praise God, give him praise and glory. And I said, our mission is to be a light to this community. Our mission is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right.
To all who will listen.
Amen.
That's our mission as a church, isn't it?
That's right.
That's our service. Our mission is to help those who need help. So we got to talking about some things, and I talked about helping in the community. I said, yeah, I said, we do a lot of food and helping people and all these things. And so he got to talking about some things that they done. He said, boy, that's a pretty good mission. We all have a pretty good mission. I said, well, that's what God says to do. So we give him glory, and he molds us by our service to him. We give him glory by even in our giving that we give. I praise God, and I can't help it. I just told Paul out there, and I just kind of broke out in some tears, because you see, God has blessed us so much that in your giving to God, that God has allowed us to do what he had allowed us to do by doing all this remodeling and never borrowing a dime to do it. That God has blessed us with a building fund that we could pay for what we had. Man, that's worth praising God for, isn't
amen.
It?
Amen. Amen.
He holds us by our giving. I appreciated what Andrew Carnegie had to say years ago. He said, you need to give your giving while you're living. That way you'll be knowing where it's going. That's true, isn't it?
Yeah. That's right.
Give your giving while you're living. That way you'll be a knowing where it's a going. But God molds us with his hands in his house when we give. Maybe we should pick up the offering and ask. And then, but not only that, we glorify him. We give him glory. But he molds us when we come to his house by prayer. The prayer that we have. And he said to pray without ceasing, not only here, but in our lives every day, pray without ceasing. So God molds us through our prayers. How often and how sad it is sometimes that we just say in our prayers, God, I need, I need, I need, I need. But how wonderful it is when we say, God, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. I looked around this morning, and I just praise God for the prayers. You know, I hope Jason don't mind me saying this.